Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
And finally this evening, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. David, thank you very much for the time. Let's kick off with Pick and Pay. Losing money, but less money, and I'm expecting break-even only in 2028. Turnarounds are tough. This one's kind of working, but it's still tough.
I think that's the point that I picked up. You know, the turnaround was originally, it's been delayed. It's only 2027. We're 2025 now. So there's a long way to go, Simon. I know the share price initially recovered when Sean Summers took over. There has been there's been a lot that he's done, particularly selling off underperforming stores or loss-making stores. Margins are picking up. They've unbundled Boxer, had a rights issue, so they've reduced debt. But still, I think it's the operations that a lot of work has to be done. So, yeah, you know, I don't see any major turnaround in the share price now. I think it's going to take time before we can really celebrate the final turnaround. So, and Sean said it himself.
Yeah, and part of the trick is, as much as they're trying to catch up with Shoprite is continuing to develop and pull ahead.
I think that's a problem. No one says, shame, we feel sorry for Sean. Let's give him a break. Not at all. And I think, the biggest fight is probably Woolworths, Shoprite, and Spar also trying to make a comeback. And then we've got Pick and Pay quite a few yards back. So margin's still under pressure. But my point is, I'm not a buyer of Pick and Pay, but when you go through the results, still some road to travel there.
Yeah, I'm not a buyer either, and I think part of the problem is I'm also not a shopper at Pick and Pay. Let's go on to Altron. Those were an impressive set of numbers. This really has been a great sort of return of value to shareholders over since the Bytes unbundling a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember when they unbundled Bytes, they had a bit of a rough time, but new management in, Werner Kapp, and he's transforming the company. This was a power transmission company. it had cables, it had all kinds of issues. Now it's a tech company. And when people say, well, what is tech? I think what they do is really focusing, trying to help businesses become part of this digital age. And, that's where they're finding their niche now and getting the results. Gone are some of those old businesses, which I hope one day will become new businesses when we start actually doing, developing the infrastructure. But Simon, good set of results. And we tend to forget that they've got Netstar, which is quite a big competitor to Karoo with six O's or whatever.
Five O's.
Fibers,
only fibers. But we're kind of burying the lead here, and I like your point, because we look at our market, and compared to the Mag 7, it's old school, yet all-time highs. I mean, our market is not... We're back to being a gold market.
We are back, but what you forget about these companies, and I picked it up with Bytes, it's all very well having technology. You've got the technology, but that has to be transferred to smaller businesses or sold to smaller businesses. Mm-hmm. And these are the intermediaries, who develop programs, develop applications for businesses using all this modern technology that the Mag 7 are, developing or building. So don't forget, businesses like Bytes, like Altron. I wish EOH, whatever they call today, could kind of find their way back there. But there are many, many smaller businesses that are going to also benefit from the growth in technology.
Yeah. Let's bring it back to some individual stocks. Transnet got $51 billion from Treasury last week. That, in other words, is you, I, and the listeners. And they're essentially giving some $4 billion to Sasol. They're withdrawing their appeal. I mean, tough for us as the shareholders of Transnet, but Sasol shareholders are certainly excited by this. Is it time for Sasol?
We hope. Listen, they've had a very good week.
Yeah.
First, the government also conceded on their carbon emissions and that. So they're not saving there. What they're doing is that they're not having to spend as much money as they thought or set aside. And this is another bonanza. So their whole aim is to get that $4 billion debt down to under $3 billion. And this is helping a lot. on the other side, Simon, oil prices are going nowhere and the rand's getting stronger, which doesn't help them. And I'm not sure what's happening. I know they've got to put a lot of attention to Lake Charles in Louisiana, which they mentioned last week in their investor day, but a lot still to be done. But in the meantime, the bargain hunters have had a very good week.
So from bargain hunters to perhaps, I mean, the JSE is full of stories. One of them is Capitec. What listed at, I think, a rand. It's now 3,450 rand. And it is just a couple of billion away from being the largest bank in South Africa by market cap. It's a staggering story.
Well, First Rand, what's for? I just looked at these numbers this morning because I sort them out on a day-to-day basis, and I saw Capitec come into number two. So you got First Rand at about 411, Capitec 400, Standard Bank 376. So there's a margin there. And then APSA, Nedbank, Investec, all those banks. And remember, when did Capitec it's when APSA was formed. That's where this was the offshoot. Not offshoot, this was discarded. Banker Boerland.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know when that was,
Unsecured lending, and then they listed the week that Sumbo went bankrupt.
Yeah. So whether it's 25, 30, it certainly came on at the same time as maybe the Investix, and then, you know, Nedbank was there, APSA was there. All of these banks were there had been there for a long time. And I love this bank. I know it's expensive, but I think it's just that they've captured the mood or the spirit of South African banking, and the customers love them.
Yeah.
So don't write them off yet.
Yep, and now they're selling them airtime, and aside from funeral policies and all the other bits and pieces at the same time. I mean, more good news, particularly for our market. We used to be a gold market way back in the day. Well, in the 70s and 80s, there must have been dozens and dozens of gold mines listed, often single shaft. That has changed. But Friday was highest weekly close ever for gold. The gold march continues.
And it's going to continue as well, Simon. I think the dollar's getting weaker, and the dollar's getting weaker. It's not tariffs anymore. I think investors very concerned, about America's fiscal policies, the budget deficit, and also the uncertainties there. And it's translating now more into more into concerns about the strength, about America's the deficit, what they owe, rather than what Trump's going to do with tariffs. Yeah, that's still an issue. But, I mean, there are the concerns. So interest rates going up in America, dollar coming down, and, of course, money now shifting away from the dollar into gold. You can bring cryptocurrencies into that, but I don't want to mention that.
No, we'll leave the 109,000 Bitcoin alone. You mentioned tariffs there. Friday, Trump says 50% tariffs on the EU because they're not negotiating nicely. Last night, he removed the 50%. So it was a weekend special type of scenario. I just scratched my head. I'm fortunately not an American CEO. It is erratic. It is impossible to manage, but also maybe it's just he will change his mind so quickly.
He will, and I think the markets, he's like a schoolyard bully, you know, and I think people are standing, or competitors know how to play him now, and they stand up to him like China did, and he eventually comes back. Simon, the one thing that worries me, just thinking this through, is that they can come back. This is the EU. It's not it's not a small nation like South Africa. And my big worry is we've seen in the past how they've tackled the soft side of America, which is the Mag 7 or those kind of companies. They've imposed a lot of fines for anti-competitive behavior, which has driven Trump mad. That, to me, is an area where they can be very, very nasty if they want to. Rather than direct tariffs, I don't know what, rather than Gucci bags or whatever they send into America. This is a side that does scare me. But Trump needs a circuit breaker, before he lets his mouth go. There should be something in the middle that just kind of gives him a bit time to think before he does these things. It'll never be 50%. And I think the market's wised up to that.
But it's like the cell phone my teenage niece has, which has control limits on it. Last point, vacant site in Clifton, and I'll stress a vacant site in Clifton, sold for 170 million rand. It wasn't me. Some people, David, live different.
You're never going to get that. It's an incredible, those stands were originally, I think, issued to servicemen that came back. I can't remember whether it was the First World War or Second World War, you know, that were given those stands originally. And sometimes, you know, some of those houses still look like they were built at that stage. But still, you know, to rebuild it now, quite remarkable. What's that, $10 million, I think? Maybe it's I mean, you're not going to get another Clifton, but to spend $170 million, I don't know where people get that money, whether it's a foreigner or whatever.
It must be. At $10 million, I don't know.
I still, the water's far too cold, Simon.
Take
you,
your point.
You're from KZN.
Yeah,
you're
give me the South Coast.
KZN,
yeah, give me the, absolutely. Give me South Coast KZN warm water. We'll leave it there. David Shapiro, Sasfin Securities, always appreciate. Heart 1027.